This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Gino last year, 30-100. Those are the magic numbers on the back of the bubblegum card.
Suarez drives it to left. Guido, it's Gino.
Well, let's see, as Gracie pointed out on the pregame show, if they want to work into Gino Suarez, who got the tower buzz last night.
There it goes, number two for Gino, and the Diamondbacks have the lead.
Suarez homered in the second, his second in this series.
Not only has he homered, he's hit some long homers.
Curveball swung on. That's it, Will. Out to deep left field. That one's going to go.
Suarez hits a high fly ball. Deep left center. Crow Armstrong can't get it. It's gone. He's homered in three straight to start the year.
No, you don't have privacy, Eugenio Suarez, because I even know it's your birthday. It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
I know that song.
Is he in first place when it comes to available bats at the trade deadline? We examine here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We do this stalking segment. The stalking verb is a joke, but the intent and the internet time is very much on purpose, because as we try to figure out who's available potentially for the Cubs at this trade deadline, he comes up because he's one of the biggest bats who could be available. And there's no question that based on what he's doing, not just in his career, but relative to the rest of Major League Baseball right now, and the renaissance he has had is all worth examining on a Diamondbacks team where we're still trying to figure out, Marshall, if they're even going to be sellers because they have talent like him.
So with Eugenio Suarez, what's interesting, as you mentioned, he's 33 years old.
Today.
Yay! And he's producing at a high level. You know, he hadn't been an All-Star in 6 years. But now he's a two-time All-Star after making the All-Star team this year for the National League and the Diamondbacks.
Oh, it's tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday. My bad.
Oh.
I shorted him a day in his life.
So that means he's turning 34?
I can't tell if it's Thursday or Friday, because the pool party with Ozzy is throwing me off, okay? I'm going to be honest. But the point is, Eugenio Suarez has a birthday within the next 24 hours.
And he'll be 34.
All right, then. But at the same time, when you look at his stats, how about 31 home runs? You want to start there?
We can definitely start there. I think leading the league in RBI is a good thing, too. 78 of those.
The National League?
And so I think the biggest thing, the level of upgrade, because of what you're not getting offensively from the hot corner at third base, it would take this offense to another stratosphere in theory. And I think for him, he's a guy who actually has hit righties well, way better than lefties this season. But for his career, if you just start there, because we talked about the pitching, the problems the Cubs have had with left-handed pitching versus left-handed pitching, this man, a 255 hitter with a 355 on base, 480 slug. That's an 840 OPS in his career against left-handed pitching. That's great. That would give you someone, and we know how Craig Counsell is not opposed to moving around the lineup, someone who can bat in the 3-5 spot, or maybe 3-6, against left-handed starters.
The Cubs' struggles against lefties, we know, is established. The Cubs' struggles with the rest of Major League Baseball, relatively speaking, at third base, also established. So when you consider that, there's a big reason why he would be a wonderful fit on this team. He also has gone through a bit of a renaissance, as we've mentioned. The offensive numbers speak for themselves. But part of his success, because if you compare it to what happened in June of last year, where he was looking at a situation where he might be DFA'd. In fact, when they were playing the Philadelphia series last year, his slash line at that time was 192, 276, 308. And his manager, Torrey Lovello, suggested that he do high-intensity training. You know, like hit the acronym high-intensity interval training and more high-intensity prep overall to help him get back some of that burst he needed to return to form. And that's what happened. His last 80 games, he slashed 311, 357, 609. What a remarkable improvement. He said he put in that work in his routine. He was prepared for the game. He was ready, right? And he didn't have to wait two or three innings or two or three at-bats to get his body going. So the recovery time and the warm-up time changed. And he said after that happened, he felt like he re-unlocked his talent. So he's on an option right now for 2025. $17 million is what the Diamondbacks were able to pick up. But when I just consider his performance this year combined with him doing the work, how could you not love that as a candidate for somebody for your team?
Suarez leads all third basemen in Major League Baseball with 58 runs scored. Obviously, he leads all third basemen in RBI and home runs, 31 and 78 respectively, 31 home runs and 78 runs driven in. He also... And here's the thing, just to give you kind of a measuring stick. Jose Ramirez, he's good at third base?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He has the second best slug, Jose Ramirez does, at 506. Suarez has the best. It's 569.
Wow.
Power. Raw. Unfiltered power.
Unadulterated power.
All of it.
Well, maybe slightly adulterated because of the tense moments we saw from one Chicago White Sox in the All-Star game. Let's listen in on that.
Suarez looking.
Oh,
boy. No.
You're going to first.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez, one of the top home run hitters in the league and one of the key trade deadline pieces potentially.
Now this ball just gets away and rides in and catches nothing but that pinky. And that there's no way to cushion that.
Ah, and for a brief second there, we thought that all hell was going to break loose after Shane Smith accidentally, hit Eugenio Suarez in the pinky. But fortunately for Suarez, he ended up being okay. But that was the moment when I realized just how important this person's livelihood was to me when it not just came to this segment, but how he was going to affect the entire trade deadline process,
well,
potentially.
The audible no that you heard there kind of just summed up how everyone watching that game felt seeing it. Not just because last thing you want to see is somebody get hurt in a freaking exhibition, but all the teams that are interested in his services were thinking, not another third baseman unavailable to us before we even get to the trade deadline.
But here's the problem. We still don't know if his services are even going to be available. Let's rewind to yesterday, the Foul Territory podcast. Our friends there do awesome work. And they also have a podcast called Snakes Territory. I love that for many reasons. You could be talking about a rattlesnake you find on a hike. You could be talking about something you saw at the zoo. You could be talking about baseball.
You could be talking about backstabbers, too.
Snakes Territory. In the media business, that really applies. So Snakes Territory host Jack Summers joined the Foul Territory podcast, and he had some insight because we don't even know what the team wants to do.
What General Manager Mike Hazen has been talking about is how many teams
they're behind and how far back are they. He's not really pegging it to a wins total. The question is are there enough games left before he has to make the decision? And it's starting to appear that there aren't. So in order for him to become an aggressive buyer, this team needs to get on a very hot run and give him the opportunity to add to the team. If he can add to the team, certainly the bullpen. He needs to pick up a couple of strong relievers to be able to sustain a run late into the season. They could probably use a left-handed DH as well. Pavin Smith got off to a hot start, then slumped for over 2 months, and now he's on the injured list with an oblique injury. So they really could use a good left-handed DH as well. But they've had, you know, a top 3, 4, 5 offense the entire year. So offense isn't the biggest need. They need pitching, and specifically bullpen.
Another team that needs pitching. Never heard that story before. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about. When he talks about how many teams they have to get past to get in the playoffs, as it stands right now, the Diamondbacks are 5.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot in the National League.
I like my chances.
The problem is they would have to jump over the Reds, who are 2.5 out.
That's a team
the Cardinals,
you respect.
Who are, yes, I definitely respect them. The Cardinals, who are 1.5 out. The Giants, who are 0.5 game out. Oh, and the Padres, who actually are holding on to that third and final wild card spot.
The Padres have the third wild card right now.
Yeah.
That's how good the National League is. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We are stalking a Eugenio Suarez, who we think might be a good candidate for, well, just about everybody, but also the Cubs, here at the trade deadline.
Also in the category of what have you done for me lately, his last 23 games, this is what Eugenio Suarez has done.
Yes.
23 games, 10 home runs, 20 runs driven in, a .299 batting average, a .344 on base, a .701 slug. That's a 1.045 OPS.
Anything over 1,000 is pretty remarkable.
It's Hall of Fame level if you can maintain it, but most people don't.
No. That's it. So the Diamondbacks right now, as you mentioned, 46-47. That's a big piece of this too, because we're also thinking about, not just for this particular segment being Suarez, but Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Josh Naylor. The Diamondbacks could really put themselves in a position to succeed for the long term if they decided to become sellers. But at the same time, they put in a lot of efforts to try to contend in a very, very, very tough and all West as well. I just appreciate what he's done with also just, let's go with the first 91, the first half, or a little bit better than the first half. .251, .325, .63 slash line, 29 home runs, 2.6 wins above replacement, that's Fangraphs. And just his second All-Star game this year for his career. You think in all those years he was with the Reds that it would have happened, but thanks to the training changes that he has made, he's put himself in this position. Let's hear from him on MLB Tonight, talking about what he did to get himself into form.
MLB Central, great show in the morning, did an amazing segment on you. I don't know if you saw it. It was Mark DeRosa and Albert Pujols. Did you see it?
No, I don't. But right, Mark, talk to me about it.
Here's video. We're showing you an image of what D-Ro discovered. In April of last year, your batting stance was closed. Then in July, you opened up your stance. And then he's showing you where you're hitting now. Look at the difference in your hands. Since July of last year, you went on a torrid pace, well over 20 home runs. You were barely over 200 before that. He also showed your feet in the batter's box. And he showed that not only are you opened up to the pitcher more, but you've moved up in the batter's box.
Towards the pitcher.
You're towards the pitcher. Did D-Ro nail all of this? Did he check all the boxes? Is this accurate in your new approach?
I mean, last year I thought, in the beginning of the season, I tried something to be sure to get that strikeout less strikeout in my career, because I'm the guy who strike out a lot. And I tried that, and then it doesn't work. And this game is about adjustment. So I got a conversation with our hitting coach, and they give me this little tip, and try so hard in the middle of the July after the All-Star break. I come in with that thing, and like you say, turns my hip into the pitcher, and to try to catch the breaking ball out from that play, you know. And obviously, I got a good resource, and I got confident on that, and I just got it natural now, you know. Like I say, this game is about adjustment, and that's what I've been doing last year and this year. I just want to keep having it, you know, not change anything, like I say.
Aw, doesn't that warm your heart? I feel like that's such wholesome content from Eugenio Suarez.
I got to tell you, I went through a lot of this audio yesterday, and I didn't know much about Eugenio Suarez other than I love when Pat Hughes says his name.
Eugenio.
And after this segment, to anyone listening, I have to dare you, now double dare you, now triple dare you, to not come away from this segment loving Eugenio Suarez.
Well, here's something that'll really make them love Eugenio Suarez, as if they needed a reminder. The best thing about getting Eugenio Suarez on your team is that you don't have to see him in the batter's box against your team. Against the Cubs, he's played 132 games, right? He's hitting .266. His on base is .349. His slug is .540. That's an .889 OPS. His 36 home runs against the Cubs, more than against any other team in Major League Baseball, of course, from all that time he spent playing in the division.
And he's coachable. Listen to how coachable he is. He's like, oh, you think that I should work out harder? Okay. Let me make these adjustments and figure out how to get better at the plate. Okay. And look what happens. He hits 4 home runs in a single game this year in his age 33-34 season. And he makes a second career All-Star game. And that's just lovely. That's wholesome for me. It heals my cold, dead heart to know that somebody puts in the work and they're that open to it and it's paying off in these dividends. I just hate that it's not for the Cubs.
I just, when we talk about wish lists, right, at the trade deadline, as far as hitters go, how could he not be at the top of your wish list of guys who are clearly going to be rentals if you get them?
Should we listen to more Eugenio Suarez?
Yes, absolutely.
Can we listen to him after he talked about hitting 4 home runs in a game?
Obviously, it's awesome. You know, I never thought in my life that I'd be able to hit 4 home runs in a game. To be honest, it feels great. I just want to thank God for this opportunity. It's very special for me, you know, to be able to do that here in Arizona, doing for my team, doing for my family. They watch me every single day, they support me, my teammates, and that's awesome. Obviously, it's a mixed feeling right now because we wouldn't win the game, but this is basic. That's why this game is so special, and I just want to glorify God with this game today that he just gave it to me. It's a gift, you know, and I don't take it for granted. I've been working so hard, and I think that was more special for me, you know, doing it in front of all the people. Like I say, they've been cheering for me all game long since I hit that first one. I see a few fans that I cheer for me, and they say they're going to hit more than one today. So it was awesome doing in front of them, and I see the crowd after that I hit my 4 homers. They was crazy, you know, it was awesome.
Aw, indeed. I mean, come on, man. Stop. It's the middle of the day. You can't have me out here in my fields.
Why not?
In broad daylight where other people can see me.
Man, don't you just like this guy?
We're talking about Eugenio Suarez. He's the third baseman on the Diamondbacks, but he might be the third baseman somewhere else. And there's an argument to be made. He should be the next third baseman of the Chicago Cubs. Look, I'm not knocking on Matt Shaw. I haven't given up on Matt Shaw. But if your window is now, we don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker at the end of the season. Get whatever you need to make the strongest push you can make. That is the point here. And with Suarez, you feel like that's a guy who can get things done. We've seen it before. And I just wonder if they have the ammunition to go out and get both a top of the line pitcher. And when I say top of the line, I mean top of the line of what's available starting pitcher, and also get an upgrade on the level of Eugenio Suarez.
I think if he is dealt, whichever team decides to go for him, you know that there's going to be a big time reaction in the clubhouse. Like, you know, that is going to be one of those, oh, we got that dude, let's go. Like, you want to be there to see the motivation and the reaction from people like that when that kind of move occurs.
Suarez is great, man. That's just bottom line. If you're trying to win and win now and you need a right-handed bat, a power bat, few options are giving you as much power that are trade eligible or not. Guys who you know aren't moving. I mean, he's a top-tier player. At least he has been this season specifically. Again, it's been 6 years since he's been an All-Star. But he's put up good power numbers since then, and he can continue that as a member of the Cubs or whoever decides to trade for him if the Diamondbacks decide to make a move at all.
Uno mas! One more time from Eugenio Suarez. Let's hear from him after he hit his 300th home run of his career on June 20th.
This is the game. You know, I feel so proud of myself. I've been working so hard all my career. And, you know, see that, you know, put everything on the field, try to help my team win games, and came here and doing it in front of my wife and my daughter. They came and watched me. So it's even more special, you know, and it's something that I always dream. And today the dream come true. You know, a little guy from Venezuela, Ciudad PR, hit a 300 homer right now in big leagues. That's awesome. And I feel so blessed. I feel so good and so proud of myself. And I feel so good right now. I feel so happy. I want to cry because, like you say, a year ago, like my career maybe went down for a lot of people, you know, but not for me. I never lost my belief. I always work hard. I know what I can do. And today I show up like that, you know. Now I put my name in that list and I feel blessed.
Aww. Dang it. Okay, here's my plan.
Oh, you got a plan?
Yeah, I got a plan. All right, here's the thing. I have no money, and I can't sign anybody or trade anybody. I have no prospects. But I have Ozzie Guillen and this pool party at Four Winds Casino. And there's a good chance that because Eugenio Suarez is Venezuelan, that I can talk to Ozzie, and that Ozzie can try to do some work on the side. And so we can try to figure something out.
Are we trying to get him on the White Sox? What are you talking about?
No, Ozzie could pitch him for the Cubs. Ozzie loved Kyle Hendricks. He thought he was one of his, you know, favorite players at the time he was pitching for the Cubs. So I feel like in this case, Ozzie would be like, yeah, I want him in my city. I'll ask Ozzie. I'll see what he thinks.
Go get it, baby.
Ozzie will have a plan.
You've got the inside track. He's got the inside track. Connect your tracks.
If there's one thing we like to do, it is scheme. So I feel like Ozzie and I can scheme a plan together.
I also am
for
a
our mythical baseball league, you know, hanging out at Four Winds Casino.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Guy we haven't really talked about since they signed him. Incredibly important position. Drew Dolman.
The Bears actually have a true center. He's smaller than I thought he'd be. Maybe it's because Tooney's big and Jonah Jackson's looks enormous out there. But that offensive line seems to be coming together. Ben Johnson doesn't want to get too far ahead of himself, but I think we're all seeing what we're seeing here. There's one spot open. It's on the left side. The rest of the spots are kind of solidified, especially in the middle there with Tooney, Dolman, and Jonah Jackson.
Those are the pleasant sounds of the Hogue and Johns podcast. They are our next guests as we go to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. They are the Adams. It is Adam Hogue. It is Adam Johns. They are the Hogue and Johns podcast. And they are together, not physically next to each other, but they are on your Twitch screen, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And congratulations to Adam Johns going over to CHGO. The only element of John Greenberg's survey I voted for was the bonus question about being happy about you going. So I just want you to know I voted for you and you only. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I know John takes a lot of pride in that survey. He hasn't done it in a few years, I think. But thank you. I'm excited. Officially now under the same umbrella as Adam Hogue here, my partner. I feel like we've been working together forever, but now we're officially at the same place. It feels great.
How much fun do you guys have doing the content that you do? And now that you're kind of embarking on a different chapter of the same book, how much more fun do you think you're going to have?
Well, I think I get to annoy him a lot more now. Like all my text messages used to go to Kevin Fishbane at The Athletic. We're talking all hours, different story ideas, different complaints, different things that come to mind. Now he's going to get them times two because I was already doing that a little bit before, but yeah, you know, I'm kidding around here. We're good friends to begin with. We have fun doing this. We're both from Chicago. We know what it's like to grow up here. So I think that makes our show kind of special. But yeah, now he gets to get all my text messages and complaints that come at all hours of the day.
Yeah, I got one of those last night. I was all done with my long day of work. It was like 6 o'clock. Hey, I need you to read this column. So I'll get used to that. I think like when you put it in perspective, what we've built with the show, despite the fact that we've never actually worked together, the fact that now we're under the same umbrella and we'll be working closer together on a daily basis will only make all of it even bigger and better. So we're excited about that.
When is the first episode dropping, or has it already?
It drops Monday. So I know people are itching for it because this is definitely probably the longest hiatus we've ever had to take. Part of it was just normal vacation time that we take this time of year, but it takes a lot to move and migrate a show and a YouTube channel. And we got a lot of awesome people behind the scenes working on all that right now. So I appreciate everybody being patient. The good news is for everybody that watches and listens, you don't have to do anything. Once it's all sorted out, it's the same podcast feed. It's the same YouTube channel. And so we'll be back officially on Monday, recording Monday morning. We'll get it out to you probably lunchtime or so. And for the most part, it's just the same. It's the same show, just under, you know, new partnership with CHGO.
I know your opinions will evolve as we get more news about what's going on as training camp breaks and we figure out who's doing what. But just the reaction I want right now is about this Shamar Turner, according to Ian Rappaport, coming to terms as a second round pick. And I'm very confident that as long as the Bears look at what everybody else is doing, they're going to have the other picks in the fold, the second round picks, I'm saying, by the end of the weekend. And that should be good for everybody.
I think I look at this a couple of ways. It's good news well, for the second round picks, the players should stand their ground on a few things. And I kind of like this trend because there's not much bargaining that can be done left in this collective bargain agreement that the players have. So good for the second round picks for standing their ground and getting something new and maybe setting a trend going forward. For the Bears, they have 3 second-round picks. So you want them all in the building on day one, especially your left tackle who's in a competition to start next to all those offensive linemen you heard kind of previewing our segment here. So it's good news, I think, for the players overall, the second-round picks, and it's good news for the Bears, obviously, with the 3 second-round picks.
Our segment with Adam Hoges and Adam Johns is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I'm sorry, Hoger. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, no, get those dental implants.
Teeth are good.
I wish my teeth were better than they are. Look, I did some digging on this yesterday, guys. I'm not surprised to see the Turner news come out. And my guess would be here that Ozzie Trapillo would follow shortly here too, because they were drafted so close to each other. There's a couple interesting wrinkles to this. The theory that seems to be out there in NFL circles is really like Tyler Shuck is the one to watch here because he's a quarterback, because not only is he a quarterback, he's got a very good chance to actually be the Saints starter this year because they're not a very good football team. And so if there's anybody that has an argument to get fully guaranteed money, at some point in the second round, there's going to be a cutoff spot. And maybe it's that spot. It may, you know, that's the theory out there. But when you look at where Ozzie and Turner were drafted, it was later in the second round. So you can kind of already assume that that cutoff point's going to happen before you get to those slots in the draft. And so that's why I'm not surprised to see guys on the back end of the second round. I think you'll start to see budge here a little bit. But the interesting part, obviously, is that Luther Burden was drafted right ahead of Tyler Shuck. So he's really the one to watch in all this, in my opinion. So if there is a hiccup with any of these guys not showing up on time, it might be that one, but I'm still relatively optimistic that, you know, even a worst case scenario, this is not going to be something that I foresee, you know, lingering long into camp.
I do think though, outside of Shuck Adams, that it's rare you get to say
the
that
multiple
rare,
Adams. Rare. I love it.
It's rare you get to say that. No, but outside of Shuck, I think Ozzie Trapillo might have the best chance just because of the individual need that the Bears have here. You're talking about what could be your starting left tackle, at least to begin the season. They need him. Like he could actually, based on that value alone, really be in a positive position for himself.
He strikes me, though, as a player who doesn't want to miss any minute, any second that he can be in Hallis Hall. Just hearing him talk in his news conferences, just doing some background research on him. He's the type of guy who understands the business side of this. Like, there's a reason why he's not signed, but he wants to get down to business as soon as he can. He knows he's in a competition. He knows he might have the lead on this. Who knows if Braxton Jones is going to be ready as training camp opens next week. I don't think he's going to be ready. He could be limited. So Ozzie Trapillo, he has a great opportunity in front of him to really secure or really take a couple steps ahead of Braxton Jones upon his return, solidify that second spot. So I get your point, but Ozzie Trapillo strikes me as a player he could be already in town just waiting to get to Hallis Hall when rookies report on Saturday.
Also, isn't it the case that Ozzie Trapillo, I mean, now that we know Alfred Collins didn't get the 100%, but I mean, he got it way more than last year. I mean, he's definitely not getting the 100%. It's just, it seems like towards the back half of the draft that those guys are going to get increases from year over year from their same spot last year, but it's not going to be nearly as high as what we're seeing at the top half of the second round.
Right, and that's where, you know, what I was saying earlier, there's just where that cutoff point comes, and it's not really a black and white line either. Like, there's going to be some gray area. This one gets this percentage of the guarantees, but it'll be gradual. Again, that we go through this every year. I mean, since the CBA, what now, 14 years ago, I think it is, when all this stuff started getting slotted in the draft, and you know those number one overall picks stopped getting this crazy amount they ever did before ever playing a snap in the NFL. This stuff, they're haggling over such minor details. Again, last year, Caleb Williams, it came right down to like the day before camp or whatever, and then it was all fine. And I think that that's ultimately how this goes too.
I just want to add, like, there's some organizations, like you mentioned the Saints, that are like historically just stubborn and they won't budge on certain things. I don't think Ryan Poles, at least his operation, I haven't seen that. They're willing to find middle ground, whereas some of these other teams across the league, they just won't move on things just because that's how they've done business for years, and they're not going to set any trends, not only amongst other teams league-wide, but you know, with themselves going forward.
We're talking to Adam Hogue and Adam Johns at CHGO, the Hogue and Johns podcast here in Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. And since we have you on, we have not talked to you as a show since Ryan Poles' contract extension. I know you guys sat down with him also at the owners' meetings. I thought that that was a really good episode of the pod. What's your impression of just that deal getting done and what it means for the team?
I've said this a few times, but it's great to see the Bears, well, kind of acting like a serious football operation, like a serious football organization. And I don't mean this to be like funny, but we've seen it so many times where the most important people in their organization, I'm talking the quarterback, the head coach, and the GM, they're just not aligned. Forget philosophically, like Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson says they are, but contractually. And that leads to friction. It leads to extra storylines. It leads to power struggles. That's not going to exist right now. Maybe there's some disagreements. That's what football is. That's what, you know, building a team is all about. But I think it's a great sign that the Bears are moving ahead with them together. There's no extra intrigue. There's no extra infighting that needs to happen, knowing that they're contractually aligned, not just philosophically.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is they still haven't done this in the correct order. The orders here still goes GM, team president, quarterback, head coach. That's how those four have come into the organization. So they still, but at least they're not completely backwards like they used to be. And the thing is, they're getting this lined up, because so you can have, you know, really, we make fun of that, but very few organizations actually do hire everybody in the right order. And so they at least seem to be philosophically, and now we know they're contractually aligned, and the only one who's technically not on that alignment is Caleb, because he's off a year just because of, you know, you can't control that. That's just the way the rookie deals go. But I do get the sense here that, you know, if you want to have a conversation about whether or not Ryan Poles deserves the extension, I can hear you out on that. But I do think the more important thing here is to avoid these situations the team has been in the past where they're just, okay, now we need a new GM. Oh, that guy doesn't like this quarterback. So now we need a quarterback. And it's just, you got to get everything aligned so they're all seeing the same thing.
Rookie set to report on Saturday, talking to Adam Johns, Adam Hogue, about that from the Hogue and Johns podcast. Guys, I want to know your thoughts on Colston Loveland and where he is, given that he has not been on the field doing things because of that shoulder. And he says his shoulder is good to go, but it seems like a very TBD type situation. How much do they need him to be ready sooner rather than later?
Where is he? I think last we saw he was in a water park swimming, catching.
Already doing community service, yes.
Yeah, good. I think that's the first time I saw interviews conducted in an indoor water park with like a professional athlete. I can't think of another one, at least in this town. So he's setting trends. That's what he's doing. He's catching footballs at the wilderness. I don't even know where he was, but good for him for getting out there. I think the best sign of Colston Loveland in terms of being ready was towards the end of the offseason program, where you saw him go off to the opposite fields, the other fields that Hal saw, apart from his team, and work with the trainers. Like going through a pretty thorough workout, just in terms of ramping him up, getting him ready for his eventual return in training camp. So to me, I see that as a positive step. I see him being active in the community as a positive step. If he was hurt, I don't know if he's doing such things. So I think he's going to be out there next week. I think he's going to be ready to go. I think the Bears hope he is. They're playing this safe, but until we actually see him catching passes from Caleb Williams, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I just want to see him ready to go for that first padded practice. You know, and Johns has used the phrase ramping up, which is, you know, something Matt Eberflus love to say. And I think that these are the types of little things we're going to learn about Ben Johnson here, though, coming up here too, because, you know, different coaches have different thoughts on how much time guys need. Like, are they going to throw Colston Loveland in the fire right away? I don't know. What I do know is he is starting a little bit behind here. I mean, there's no question about it, because what we saw in the offseason program, you know, they were throwing a lot at these guys. There's a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of things you got to know. You got to be lined up in the right spot. Cole Kmet's getting yelled at by the head coach at one point, the same position. So these are all things that, like, you can do all the mental prep you want, but you got to, until you do it in practice, you are starting behind. And it's the same thing for Luther Burden, who missed all that time. Now, with Loveland, too, the other thing that when I brought up the pads, it's because, you know, that was a shoulder injury. So he's been able to do conditioning and all this stuff. But what is the blocking going to look like? And quite frankly, I thought he looked a little thin with the eye test, you know, just come the first time we got to see him out there on the field a little bit. So I do think he's got a little bit more bulking up to do. And I'm very curious to see when those pads go on, how he fares against some of these bigger defensive ends he's going to have to block.
We're talking to Adam Hogan, Adam Johns, the Hogan John podcast here on 670 The Score, talking Bears, which is a nice change of pace. Yeah, that was what I was going to ask you about, was Luther Burden, just because he's very much a question mark when it comes to a second round pick, of course, when it comes to his health. So how do you think he's going to be able to fit in here? Do you think we're going to see him on Saturday, or do you think there's a possibility that because of this second round draft pick issue that we're seeing in the league, do you think he might be one of those guys that maybe won't be there?
Oh, we'll see. I think he needs to be there. I think if there's one rookie who may have fell behind during the offseason program, it's probably him, and it's not his fault. He got hurt, but as I was just saying about Colson Loveland, by the end of the offseason program, Colson Loveland was doing some things on the field. Luther Burden was nowhere to be seen, and this could be a pretty complex offense for any rookie to learn. So to have him be behind not only DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and maybe even Tyler Scott right now on the depth chart, and have to learn that slot position, which we know is an important position in Ben Johnson's offense. Just look at what St. Brown did in Detroit. There's a lot on Luther Burden's table, so on his plate, I should say. So we'll see. I would expect him to be out there and ready. I would expect the safe approach to pay off for the Bears, but it's one of those wait-and-see things right now.
Yeah, I'm a big first impressions guy. I've talked a lot about that over the years, you know, kind of feeling the vibes early on with rookies especially. And I think the vibes early on with Luther Burden have not been great. I mean, just the fact that we haven't been able to see him. This is a guy that, you know, and I think it's fair to talk about, part of his scouting profile when the Bears drafted him, part of the reason why he fell to the second round is because there were questions about his work ethic at Missouri, about him being more of a weekday player, a guy who shows up to practice, guy who puts in all that work and doesn't just show up on Saturdays to play. Now, I know the Bears felt like the value where they drafted him was the talent there was good enough. I know Antoine Randall-El is excited to get after him and start coaching him. And it's not exactly apples to apples, but he had a challenge with Jameson Williams in Detroit. And so did Ben Johnson, obviously, with similar type of player, where you could even see it like during the Bears game when they were playing last year, where they kind of had to reel him in at times. But the good news is we always saw they were able to harness that talent at times and get him the football and get some explosive plays. So I do think he's going to be a little bit behind here, but if he gets healthy, even despite being behind, I feel like Ben Johnson, Antoine Randall-El, these coaches are going to find a way to get the ball in the most talented player's hands. So there's still a role for him. Even if his snap count's not super high early on in the season, they'll find a way to get him the football.
Thank you so much to Adam Hogan. Adam Johns, the Hogan Johns podcast, is now with CHGO. We appreciate you guys taking the time, and congratulations again, Adam Johns.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Indeed, we will. Your time off is over.
They're dropping that pod, and it's going to be back into the fold.
Training camp is here, almost.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco, all delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, of course, on the call. This is Rahimi and Harris live from Gallagher Way here on 670. The Score, Rami Makhlouf in for Marshall Harris. And we are happy to be joined by our guest this morning. Carter Hawkins, the Cubs general manager, is here. And, of course, during our conversations with Carter, we highlight the work of Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities to end the overpopulation of homeless animals and to transform animal welfare. Carter, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And exciting about Paws, there's an event coming up on the 21st that my wife's going to be at, and we'll have some great dogs and some kittens to potentially adopt, which we're excited about to be out here in Gallagher Way. So everybody should check it out.
Oh, you can come to Gallagher Way and be a part of it. That's great to know. So that's on July 21st. And I know you have nothing going on between today, July 18th, and July 31st. It's a very quiet time for you. So let's just start with the series that is ahead of us. I feel like we said earlier in our last segment, it's a good thing that you've got a series with the Yankees bookended by the All-Star game and the All-Star break, and then a series coming up with the Red Sox, because hottest team in baseball, of course, winners of 10 straight. How do you look at this as an evaluation for what your team needs over the next 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Red Sox are a really good team, and the Yankees are a really good team. We played a lot of really good teams over the course of the first half, and you know, over 50% of the season thus far, and so I think, you know, look, like each of these games are really important, you know, because they're one of the 162, and not trying to be cliche about it, but, you know, our team has to just focus on, you know, what are we going to do today to win? And no matter whether it's, you know, the Dodgers, the Yankees, or a team that's not win as many games as them, you know, we got to put our best foot forward to win the baseball game. You see a lot of teams making upsets. It's baseball, right? Like it's, you know, there's the best team might have a 60% chance of winning, right? Like that's 40% happens a lot. So, you know, for us, it's really just trying to focus on each day. But I certainly understand, you know, externally how this could be seen with a little bit more importance. And, you know, look, anytime we can play with the type of atmosphere that we're going to have this week and throughout the second half, it just helps prepare for some hopefully really meaningful games in October.
I said in the first segment, I'm annoyed by the Brewers that they won't just go away. Do you guys feel the same way, or do you like that it's kind of a close race and it kind of pushes both the guys on the field and you guys in the front office to maybe take this thing to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously would prefer non-close races, right? we're on top, but, you know, I think Craig talked about it really well. We just can't focus on what other teams are doing, right? There's, especially with the way the playoffs work now, you know, you know, there's definitely the division, and then there's the wild cards, and then there's the seeds, and you know, really, like, you can get yourself really confused with, hey, who do I want to win this game, and try to scoreboard watch and figure out different things. And at the end of the day, if you just take care of your business, you're going to end up in a really good place. And, you know, if we can continue to have a second half like we did in the first half and focus on little things, like, we're going to be just fine. And the Brewers play well, great for them. If somebody else plays well, great for them too.
I think it is good, though, that he said not just okay, we want to win the division. But then he put a number to it. You know, he said benchmark is a 90-win team. And I feel like it's reflected in how this team is operated and how this team has performed. Like, to have that hard number standard and just something to aspire to and to understand. You see it, I feel like, reflected every day. You know, what does it mean to you to know that that's something that obviously is a goal of yours? But then it helps players, I think, visualize and helps everybody else understand what the mission statement is.
Yeah, I mean, so the mission statement is certainly not, you know, 90 wins, right? It's you know, try to win every game. It's try to win a World Series. But, you know, I think from a true talent perspective, and I'll nerd out here for a second, you know, when someone talks about a 90-win team, they're talking about a 90-win true talent team, which means that beginning of the year, given the stats and numbers for that team, they should win 90 games if you simulated that season 1,000 different times. But there's a standard deviation of that. There's, you know, a plus minus where, you know, there's anywhere from, you know, 8 to 10 wins above 90 and anywhere between 8 to 10 wins below 90 that you'll see within these standard deviations, which means 90 win teams can win 100 games. 90 win teams can win 80 games. And, you know, there's certainly at the very tails of those, there's 110 wins and there's 70 wins. The point for us is, you know, look, we have a good enough team to be an electric team that's playing deep in October. To do that, we have to stay healthy. We have to do little things. We have to win every single game. But we know we have that talent. Like, we don't have to get lucky. We just have to play really, really well and play to our talent level. And we do that, it should be a pretty great environment here.
I know you guys never like to say you're surprised by success. But if I told you Justin Steele would be lost for the season, Shota would be lost for a couple of months, you haven't seen Javier Assad yet, would you think we're sitting here today talking about two of the best teams in baseball about to do battle in a three-game series inside Wrigley Field?
And that's definitely a punch to the gut. But, you know, I think at the same time we would have said, hey, look, we got some resilience and we're going to be able to figure out ways to win baseball games. Now, how did that happen, right? And, you know, our starting pitching has definitely held up its end of the bargain with the guys that we've had, but there's opportunity to get better. You know, same with our bullpen. Early year struggled a little bit, has gotten really good over the course of, you know, the rest of the year. We've had some guys come in and just be lights out, you know, the Pomeranzes, the Flexons of the world, and then, you know, kind of the entry of Palencia into the closer's role has been really fun to see. But, you know, our offense has really been what's carried, you know, this club thus far. You know, it's a top offense in the league. You know, we're hitting home runs, we're stealing bases. Our defense has helped our pitching out really, really well. You know, so that position player group overall, you know, I think is what has put us in the position we are today. And now it's about helping supplement them and helping them continue to do what they've done in the first half.
With a reported 25 teams being potential buyers at the trade deadline, when you know that a team like the Diamondbacks, who could change the entire, I think, fabric, you know, the atmosphere of the trade deadline, they could change the entire game there for a team who is a buyer like the Cubs. How do you figure out who's available and how do you figure out who you want?
Yeah, I mean, the who you want are the guys that you feel like are going to make your team better, right? So that part's easy. Now, figuring out if they're available, you know, everyone's available for a price to some extent. You know, I'm sure if we, you know, dangled something crazy out there, we could probably shake loose anyone. But you don't do that because it'll probably make your team worse, right? So it's hitting the phones. It's staying on top of every team. It's, you know, these things can change really, really quickly, especially this time of year. You know, the Red Sox have won 10 straight. Right, they weren't necessarily in this position 10 games ago. There's going to be another team that wins 10 straight. There's going to be a team that, you know, loses a few games over the course of the next week, and that's going to change positions and change you know, what teams are willing to do or not to do. You look at us in 2023, we were not in a position to buy. We were in a position that we're going to try to recruit some value, and then we had that streak and ended up, you know, trying to make a run towards the playoffs there. So, long story short, we just have to stay on the phones, have to make sure that we're expressing interest in all of the guys that we think can make our team better, figure out the cost, and then figure out the best decision to make us better, not only for this year, but for the future.
Do you get the sense that over the last few weeks, with teams like the Red Sox getting hot, that the landscape or the market has changed based on the conversations you're having with it? And how much do you think it could change between now and July 31st?
I think the landscape of the market has changed. I think everyone realizes that it will be really volatile, and so everyone kind of takes a 10,000-foot view this time of year and really starts to lock in over the course of the next, you know, 5 to 10 days. So I think everyone's wise to the fact that there's nothing that's really certain right now. And in order to get a deal done, you would have to overpay significantly. And so for the most part right now, it's trying to figure out who's available, trying to figure out generally what their cost is, and then everyone sets their thresholds, and when people are ready to strike, they strike.
We're talking to Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, thanks in part to his partnership with Paws Chicago. An event is here at Gallagher Way on July 21st. That's in just 3 days, with Raheemy and Harris here on The Score. I also want to ask you, what is it going to take for one of those spendy trades where you know you've already made one in Cam Smith, Isaac Paredes, and Hayden Wesneski going over to Houston for Kyle Tucker? We know that that's this time of year where you're going to have to part with somebody you may not want to part with. Owen Casey's name has come up a lot. What does it take to part with a guy like Casey or somebody like that to get a particular need for your team?
I mean, I think when you're talking about what would you be willing to spend for a particular player, it's about the impact of that player and how long you're getting that impact. You know, so right now at the deadline, you know, you're talking about, you know, if you're getting a rental player, you're talking about just, you know, 50-ish games, you know, that you're going to have that player for, you know, certainly high impact games, but, you know, they're not getting them for 3 seasons, 4 seasons, things of that nature. So that's something we'll definitely keep in mind as we're talking to teams. Is this for a rental? Is this for a player that, you know, has some control attached to him? How much did this player cost, right? Is he control with a lot of salary attached to him, or control with a little bit of salary attached to him? When we're trading a player from, you know, our prospect group, those guys have 6 years of control and they're not super expensive. For that reason, they're really, really valuable. And so it's trying to figure out both ends of that balance sheet and making sure that when you trade young, inexpensive, controllable talent, that you're getting some impact talent for hopefully a really long time.
When you're weighing the future versus now and considering these types of moves, and you're having the type of season that you're having now, does the philosophy change, and does the present hold more weight than it normally would in another type of season?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you have a chance to go deep into the playoffs, make the playoffs, you know, you definitely try to take advantage of that. You realize, you know, how sacred that is, right? It just doesn't happen every season. You know, there's not many teams that, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years in a row have had even 50% playoff odds going into the season. There's a handful of them. So, you know, everyone feels like, oh, there's a 100% chance we're going to make the playoffs this year, 90% chance we're going to make the playoffs this year. It's just not the case. There's a couple of teams that have had that. But, you know, certainly, you know, that's the exception, not the rule. You think about time value of money, right? You know, when people win the lottery, they usually take the upfront payment, right? Because everybody wants things now. I think that happens in baseball too. And so, yeah, you're valuing the win today a little bit more than the win, you know, 4 years, 5 years from now. But you're not ignoring 4 years, 5 years from now. You're not saying those don't matter. Putting some sort of discount, that's a conversation with ownership. That's a conversation, you know, within the office. And then you put that discount, apply it to whatever deals you're making, and then make a decision.
What is the biggest need for this team, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the position group has been really, really good. And there's certainly ways we can help fortify that. But, you know, for us, it's how can we, you know, kind of raise the bar with our arms, both in the rotation and in the bullpen. And, you know, that's going to come from our current guys getting better. And it's going to come from, you know, potentially bringing some guys on board. And we'll take it from there.
There's a lot about this team where you go, how long can they keep this up? And one of them is something that's not in your control. Almost every one of your position players have stayed healthy. I think they've all played a minimum of 85 games, if I'm not mistaken. Do you guys plan on that health, or do you kind of plan or at least have a backup plan for in case something should happen and you're not that lucky in the second half?
It's kind of two-pronged, right? You're always planning for having as much depth as you possibly can because you understand how volatile things are and how things can change really quickly. And even, you know, some of the things out of your control. What's in our control, though, is, you know, other than trying to plan for that depth, is our strength guys, our medical guys, our baseball guys, doing everything they possibly can to put our players in a really healthy position each day. Now, that's what they eat. That's what they drink. That's how they hydrate. That's their time on their feet. That's the work they do before the game, the work they do after game, to put their bodies in the best possible position to be able to sustain that 162-game workload. Doesn't mean guys aren't going to get hurt, but you can definitely mitigate that risk. So try to mitigate the risk as much as possible. We try to have as many, you know, alternative plans as possible as well. And when you do both of those things, you're more than likely to end up in a better place.
What is the latest on Miguel Amaya and Javier Assad? You know, when I think about acquiring players, getting your own guys back is a huge help, obviously. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at August for both of those guys, you know, which would be really, really nice to have them back. Now, our catching group has done great as Miggy's been out. You know, obviously, Reese McGuire's been outstanding in terms of his ability to be our second catcher, and Carson's had just a heck of a year. And then, you know, obviously, the more starting pitching you can have, the better. And certainly a guy like Javi that's done it before and pitched in multiple roles would be great to have. So we'll get these guys back in rehab games here soon and hopefully have them here in August.
One of the positions that people do talk about when it comes to your everyday position players, third base, and Matt Shaw, who's struggled with the bat. The glove has been great, though. How much does that weigh in terms of the defense he brings every day versus the offense he brings every day and your guys' decision-making and what you might do at third base?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we're definitely looking at. His defense, like you said, has been great. You know, he's provided value, you know, to the Cubs. You know, you go to Baseball Reference, I think he got, you know, 0.9, you know, B-war or something like that, which is not nothing. And it's certainly something that's helped us win some games in some certain places. But, you know, obviously offensively, we want more out of that position. And, you know, that could just be Matt, right? Like Matt, mm-hmm. We feel really strongly about his bat. We think that he's going to be a good hitter. You look around the league at, you know, young hitters that are going to play really, really well that aren't currently, just haven't made the adjustment yet to the league. You saw what happened with Pete last year. We fully expect that to be Matt as he continues to make adjustments. But we're also at some critical times right now where development can't be the focus on our major league club. So, you know, it's something that we'll be looking into. But, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Matt Shaw and his ability to be a great player for us moving forward.
Carter Hawkins, thank you so much for joining us here in Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And once again, an event here at Gallagher Way,
yes,
on
ma'am,
the 21st, where you can have an adoption event. Carter joins us thanks to the work of Paws Chicago, whose mission is to build no-kill communities to an overpopulation of homeless animals and transform animal welfare.
That's a great cause.
Thank you.
Awesome.
That.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Carter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.